بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وهو خير موفق ومعين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we've spoken about the notion of, or the principle, or the Shia doctrine of awaiting the coming of Imam Mahdi. We said that this belief should translate into action, it should mean a difference in our lives. And this difference is referred to in the language of the Riwayat as intizar al-faraj. And with recourse to the Riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt, we elaborated on the concept of the intizar al-faraj and how that, what are the manifestations of intizar al-faraj and how it works into our lives. We said the first factor, the first manifestation was to keep him in our hearts. And one way to do that is by reciting Dua al-Faraj aloud. And the second one we said was to observe taqwa in all spheres of life. We talked about private taqwa and taqwa in the framework of the family. And the final sphere wherein taqwa needs to be spoken about is the social sphere, taqwa in the social arena. There are many ways in which taqwa in the social sphere can be carried out. Nonetheless, the most important manifestation of taqwa, of submission to God, in the social sphere is at-tawalli wa-tabarri. At-tawalli wa-tabarri, a very important concept to Shia belief. To love for God and to hate for God. To love the friends of God and to hate and dislike the enemies of God. It's a very important notion in that it is tawalli wa tabarri that ensures the integrity of the Shia community, ensures that the Shia, the faithful, the believers, make the bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood firm among them, thereby strengthening and safeguarding the integrity of the Shia community. And also, it ensures that those who do not submit to the light of God, those who do not submit to the truth, but rather submit to the enemies of God, this concept ensures that they cannot infiltrate into the Shia community and therefore undermine the integrity of the Shia community. And so when we have a strong and firm Shia community, again going back to the concept of intizar al-faraj, that means the grounds for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi is prepared, and Imam Mahdi can inshallah reappear. And there is a good basis, there is a good structure, which is the Shia community that can support him. It is for this reason that the Riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt have stressed the importance of Tawalli and Tabarri in the context of, or in view of, the occultation of Imam Mahdi. This riwayah from Imam Baqir عن أبي حمزة عن أبي جعفر عليه السلام.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
قال رسول الله. Imam Baqir is quoting the Prophet. طوبى لمن أدرك قائم أهل بيتي. Fortunate is he who will see the Imam Mahdi. Will see him, will live to see Imam Mahdi. Fortunate is he. وهو يأتم به في غيبته قبل قيامه. While he submits to Imam Mahdi during his occultation, how? وَيَتَوَلَّى أَوْلِيَاءَهُ وَيُعَاذِي أَعْدَاءَهُ. By befriending the friends of Imam Mahdi, the Shia, the Awliya of Imam Mahdi, and by disliking or keeping a distance from the enemies of Imam Mahdi. ذَلِكَ مِنْ رُثَقَائِي. They are my friends. They are my companions. The Prophet is saying these people are my companions. وَذَوِي مَوَدَّتِي. And they are the ones who are dear to me. وَأَكْرَمُ أُمَّتِي عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And they are the noblest of my ummah on the Day of Judgment. Those who observe tawalli and tabarri. Now, this question has been raised before, that especially with reference to Christian theology and Christian thought, it is sometimes objected by some people that how can religion advocate hatred? How can religion advocate hatred and actually incorporate it as a doctrine of faith? That is something that is said against the Shia doctrine of Tawaddi wa Tabarri. And the answer is, if we think about it, it's very simple. And that is that every genuine expression of love must accompany a form of dislike or hatred. It might be latent, but it's got to be there. Otherwise, the love is not true and genuine love. Okay. To say that you love someone dearly and sincerely love someone, but you do not dislike or hate the people or the enemies that might harm this person, is ludicrous. We love our mother, every one of us, inshallah. And if someone comes up to our mother and spanks her, it's going to hurt us, and we are going to hate or at least dislike that person to some degree. All right. So if genuine love is accompanied with genuine repugnance, genuine hatred. It might be latent or it might be expressed, but it's got to be there. And the reason that the tawaghit, that those who have power, have tried to distance, who have tried to divorce these two concepts, hatred and love, is actually to neutralize both. You have a very neutral form of love that doesn't have any effect. It only makes you feel good. And at the same time, it has no harm for the tawaghit. They can control and they can give direction to your hatred. All right. So although they say love is the essence of life and we should love, hatred is bad, but what we see actually play out in on the media through the means that the Tawakkit have is that they are actually channeling hatred, all the direct and indirect attacks that we see on Muslims in general and on Shia. Okay, they're actually channeling our hatred. First, they say we shouldn't harbor hatred in our hearts. But then what they do, they divorce hatred from the divine source. Okay, and then they channel it the way they like it to be played out. Alright. So genuine love comes with a genuine feeling of dislike. They cannot be divorced from one another. When you love a person, you hate the enemies of that person. That's one objection I wanted to address, since it's likely that many of us would encounter that question. But going back to the topic of Tawalli and Tawari in the context of the Dilawar and Faraj, as I said, it's one of the very important ways, that taqwa plays out, and is extremely important for the Shia to observe it in order to hasten the reappearance of Imam Mahdi, inshallah. First, a few words about Tawalli, and then inshallah we'll also consider Tabari. If we go through the Shia corpus of tradition, brothers and sisters, the Jawami' al-Rawayi that we have from the Ahlul Bayt, the emphasis that is attached to Tawalli, to brotherhood and sisterhood among the Shia faithful, is incredible. The Rawayat that we have about kindness toward our fellow believers, when you read them, some of them are above our comprehension. That's how much they emphasize the concept of Tawalli. I'm just going to read to you one riwayah from Kafi about the importance of Tawalli and how Tawalli is actually to be observed. And after reading this, we should gauge ourselves to see how much we actually listen to the instructions of the Ahlul Bayt regarding Tawalli and regarding brotherhood and sisterhood. If we say that we are the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, and we are, inshallah, the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, but that means that we should put their sayings into action. So this rawayah is in Al-Kafi, an Mu'alla ibn Khunais, an Abi Abdullah alayhi salam. Mu'alla ibn Khunais reports from Imam Sadiq. قُلْتُ لَهُ مَا حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ. What is the rights that the believers have in relation to one another? Muslim here means mu'min, not Muslim in general, because of the Quran that we have in the riwayat itself. Because later on in the riwayat it says akhika. Akhika in the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt only means your believers. When the Ahlul Bayt wanted to refer to the mu'mineen, to the believers in the Ahlul Bayt, they would say akhika. So Mu'alla ibn Khunais asks Imam Sadiq, ma haqqul muslim ala al-muslim? What are the rights of the mu'mineen in relation to one another? قال له سبع حقوق. There are seven rights. سبع حقوق واجبات ما منهن حق إلا وهو عليه واجب. All of these rights are wajib. They are mandatory and they must be observed. إن ضيع منها شيئا خرج من ولاية الله وطاعته. Very strong language. If we fail to observe these rights, we are leaving the wilaya. We are abandoning the authority of God, the love of God. and we are abandoning subordination to God. إن بيع منها شيئا خرج من ولاية الله وطاعته ولم يكن لله فيها من نصيب. And he would be of no good to God if he does not observe these rites. قلت له جعلت فداك. May I be sacrificed for you, O Imam Baqir. وما هي? What are these rites? قال يا معلا إني عليك شفيق أخاف أن تضيع ولا تحفظ وتعلم ولا تعمل. Let's not talk about this. I'm afraid I'll tell you, and you'll fail, because they're so difficult, you'll fail to act accordingly, and therefore you'll have an extra burden of sin on you. Because after I tell you, you will know, and you're going against your knowledge. قال قلت له لا قوة إلا بالله. معلا says, I told him, لا قوة إلا بالله, inshallah. I'll try to do my best in observing these. So Mawla says, okay, I'll enumerate these rites for you. قال أيسر حق منها أن تحب له ما تحب لنفسك وتكره له ما تكره لنفسك. The easiest, the simplest of these rites is to love for your brother in faith what you love for yourself. To want for your brother in faith what you want for yourself, and to dislike for your brother in faith what you dislike for yourself. This is something that unfortunately most of us, I'm talking for myself of course, it's very difficult for us to observe this. And if we actually observed this one right, our Shia communities would be in much better shape. A very simple example, when you want to give a gift to someone, or a brother has a need, we want to give something to for that brother's need, usually what happens is that we go and choose that one that we do not need, that we don't find that interesting, that we don't find to be as good for us. We find it dispensable. We have different things. Okay, say the brother needs a shirt or whatever. All right, and we go and look in our closet to see which shirt we do not use and which shirt we like the least. We give that shirt to that brother. That means we are not practicing the true Shia faith. Okay, so أيسر حقا منها أن تحب له ما تحب لنفسك وتكره له ما تكره لنفسك والحق الثاني أن تجتنب سخطه وتتبع مرضاته وتطيع أمره. Don't make him angry. Try to please your brother in faith. Try to, if he has a favor, try to do that favor for him. والحق الثالث أن تعينه بنفسك ومالك ولسانك ويدك ورجلك. To help him in every way possible, with your very existence, with your money, with your tongue, with your hands, and with your feet. والحق الرابع أن تكون عينه ودليله ومرآته. Be his eyes. In other words, be loyal to him. Act as his guide. If he needs guidance, guide him. Give him the correct instructions. ودليله ومرآته. والحق الخامس, the fifth right, أن لا تشبع ويجوع. It should not be that you are full, that you have food and he is hungry. ولا تروى ويظمأ. You have water to drink and your brother in faith doesn't have water to drink. ولا تلبس ويعرى. you have clothing to wear, he doesn't have clothing to wear. Of course, these are just examples. What it means is that to be aware of the situation of our brothers and sisters in faith. And if we have something, to try to share that with them as much as we can. وَالْحَقُّ السَّادِسِ إِنْ يَكُنْ لَكَ خَادِمٌ. If you have a servant, وَلَيْسَ لَأَخِيكَ خَادِمٌ فَوَاجِبٌ أَنْ تَبْعَثَ خَادِمَكَ. If you have a servant, and your brother in faith does not have a servant, it is incumbent on you to send your servant to your brother in faith, so that the servant would wash his clothing, make food for him, make his bed. والحق الصابر أن تبر قسمه. If he tells you something, if he swears that he's telling the truth, believe him. وتجيب دعوته. If he invites you, accept the invitation. وتعود مريضه. If he becomes ill, go and visit him. وَتَشْهَدُ جَنَازَتَهُ. If he dies, or if one of his relatives die, go to his tashhid janazah, go to his funeral ceremony. وَإِذَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ لَهُ حَاجَةً تُبَادِرُهُ إِلَىٰ قَضَائِهَا وَلَا تُلْجِئُهُ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَسْأَلَكَهَا وَلَكِنْ تُبَادِرُهُ مُبَادَرَةً. If you have a need, if he has a need, if your brother in faith has a need, go and satisfy and fulfill that need without him having to come to you. فَإِذَا فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ وَصَلْتَ وَلَايَتَكَ بِوَلَايَتِهِ. فَإِذَا فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ وَصَلْتَ وَلَايَتَكَ بِوَلَايَتِهِ وَوَلَايَتَهُ. If you do this, your wilayah has gone hand in hand with the wilayah of your brother in faith. It strengthens the community, strengthens the Shia community, and hastens, inshallah, the establishment of the rule of God, inshallah. And remember what the first sentence read. If we fail in doing these, خَرَجَ مِنْ وَلَايَةِ اللَّهِ. We are abandoning the authority. We are abandoning submission to God. One of the very rare instances, brothers and sisters, where lying is allowed in shara'a is for إصلاح ذات البين. To strengthen the community of the faithful. The shari', the imams, God has allowed us to lie in order to bring two brothers in faith that have a dispute together. The same sin that is considered in many rawayat to be worse than zina, worse than shurb al-khamr, the same sin is considered, or the same act, here it's not a sin anymore, it's considered to be mustahab, it's considered to be beneficial. When you want to bring two brothers in faith together, that's how important the issue of tawaddi is, the issue of tawaddi especially in this context. But unfortunately, this is not what we see play out in our Shia communities. We see division, 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 dispute, dispute, dispute. As soon as there is a disagreement, we have different opinions, we split, start a different center. Splits and splits and splits. We cannot tolerate the disagreements and disputes among one another. That goes against the instructions of the Ahlul Bayt. Fine, we have disagreements. Okay, start a different center, that's fine. But try to keep that brotherhood. Go to each other's centers. Don't let that the differences and disagreements bar us, prevent us from from going to each other's centers, from visiting each other, from strengthening the ties of brotherhood. If we don't do that, خرج من طاعة الله خرج من ولاية الله. So it's very important. And one last thing in relation to Tawalli is that the Ahlul Bayt have stressed a great deal on visiting each other. Just the fact of visiting. I found this in Rawaya, this report to be extremely interesting. So I thought to share it with you. عن جابر عن أبي جعفر عليه السلام. جابر بن يزيد الجعفي relates this رواية from Imam Baqir. قال قال رسول الله من زار أخاه في بيته. The Shia who goes to see his brother in faith. قال الله عز وجل أنت ضيفي وزائري. God says, you are my guest. When we go and see a brother in faith, God says, you are my friend. قال أنت ضيفي وزائري علي قراك. It is upon me to provide you with what a host provides to his guest. وَقَدْ أَوْجَبْتُ لَكَ الْجَنَّةِ. And I have made paradise, I have made heaven, I have given heaven to you by doing this. When we read these riwayah, at first they might seem exaggerated. They might seem to be a little overstated. How can visiting someone, how can visiting a Shia be so important as to require such a blessing from God? But when we view these riwayat in their true context, in the context of strengthening the Shia community, and thereby providing the grounds for the coming of Imam Mahdi and for the establishment of the rule of God, then we understand the importance, we understand the strong language that the Ahlul Bayt have used. Alright, now to Tabarri. As I said, Tawalli and Tabarri are two sides of the same coin. You cannot have Tawalli without Tabarri. If you have Tawalli, you must have Tabarri at the same time. Tabarri means to hate the enemies of God, to hate the friends of the enemies of God, and to hate those who submit to the enemies of God. This is Tabarri. So the primary object of Tabarri, the primary object of our dislike should be the Tawaghit, the enemies of God. That should be the primary object of our dislike. There is, however, a certain amount of misunderstanding when it comes to Tawaghit. We have to understand who the Tawaghit are. Tawaghit comes from Tagha, from Tughyan, meaning rebelling against those who have rebelled against God. They are the Tawaghit. So when we say that we hate and dislike the enemies of God, the Tawaghit, those who have rebelled against God, We mean that we hate those who share an ideology, and that ideology is that the light of truth must be extinguished. All right? Inshallah, you're following me? When we say the tawaghit, we mean those people who subscribe to a certain ideology, who uphold a certain ideology, and that ideology is the material ideology that is opposed to the light of God, that is opposed to the divine truth. This is what we mean by tawaghit. And this is what we mean when we say tabarri, when we say disliking tawaghit, we mean all those who subscribe to this anti-divine ideology. We do not mean certain individuals in the history of the Ahlul Bayt. Bani Umayyah, Bani Sufyan, Bani Abbas. Yes, they exemplify Tawhut as well. Okay, but they were only members in this line of thought, members of this line of thought. They were only practitioners of this ideology. So unfortunately, there are certain Shias, and there are unfortunately certain scholars among the Shia school, okay, who consider themselves to be extremely wala'i, to be extremely pro Ahlul Bayt. They cry for the Ahlul Bayt. They beat their chest for the Ahlul Bayt. They do tatbir for the Ahlul Bayt. They do all these things. But unfortunately, when it comes to actually shunning and renouncing the tawaghit of their time, unfortunately, what we see is that they are totally neutral in relation to the tawaghit. They view the tawaghit only as certain characters in the history of the Ahlul Bayt. That person, and that person, and that person, and that person, and they do la'an to them, and they do la'an openly. And they consider themselves to be mutabarri from the enemies of God. But that's a crooked, false understanding of tabarri. When Imam Mahdi comes, he is going to fight the tawaghit of his time. So we must determine who the tawaghit of our time are, and we must practice this tabarri in relation to them. Although we hate those who oppress the Ahlul Bayt, that's without a doubt. But that is not enough. To say that we love the Ahlul Bayt, to say that we hate the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, but then to act in a way that in no way is detrimental to the interests of the tawaghit, but actually benefits the interests of the tawaghit, it means that we are not truly following the footsteps of the Ahlul Bayt, no matter how assertive we might be in saying that we are the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. That's one aspect of tabarri. It's a very important aspect to dislike the tawaghit. And one of the practical implications of this, of tabarri min al-tawaghit, brothers and sisters, one of the practical implications is not going to the court of the tawaghit, not taking our affairs to the court of the tawaghit. When we have disputes among the Shia, unfortunately we come across cases where there are certain brothers and sisters, they have issues with one another, they have disputes, and they take their cases to the court of Tawhut. They consider themselves Shia. They consider themselves Muhibb Ahl al-Bayt. But they expose one another's problems by taking their disputes to the court of the Tawhut, which is absolutely and definitely haram. If we have problems among the Shia, we must try to resolve them ourselves. Go to the Sayyid, go to Shaykh, try to resolve those disputes. This is another implication, practical implication of Tabarri. We always talk about Tawalli and Tabarri, but we don't act accordingly. Only if it comes to the worst case scenario, only if it's a matter of haraj and darar. Alright. There is no other way that we can get our right. Only then can we go to the court. Otherwise, it is haram to take our disputes, to take the disputes between the Shia brothers and sisters to the court. Verse 60 of Surah Nisa very explicitly states this. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألم تر إلى الذين يزعمون أنهم آمنوا بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك يريدون أن يتحاكموا إلى الطاغوت وقد أمروا أن يكفروا به. Do you not see those who claim, who pretend to be mu'mineen, but then when disputes arise, they take their disputes to the Tawhut. Whereas they had been commanded to shun the Tawhut. That's another practical application of Tabarri. To do that, or to not do this actually, is undermining the integrity of the Shia community. And therefore, again, I'm going back to the theme I started with, therefore postponing the reappearance of Imam Mahdi. At first, when we look at Intidar al-Faraj and Tawalli and Tabari, it looks so simple, just love the Ahlul Bayt. But when we consider the various practical implications, we realize that unfortunately, in many respects, we might be deficient in what we do. And the last practical implication of Tabarri that I would like to talk about is the issue of friendship. Like I said, Tabarri means to dislike and disown the enemies of God, dislike and disown those who have submitted to the authority of the enemies of God. And it's for this reason that the Qur'an tells us that it is not allowed to have friends who are not believers. It is haram to have friends that are not believers. Verse 28, Surah Al-Imran. لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين. The believers do not or should not take the disbelievers as friends. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِي شَيْءٍ. One who does that is no good for God. إِلَّا أَن تَتَّقُوا مِنْهُمْ تَقَاءً. Except if it's a matter of taqiyah, that's something else. But if we take non-believers as friends, we are actually leaving the fold. We are actually leaving the authority of God. We are abandoning the authority of God. We are undermining the integrity of the Shia community. Although, I mean, we need to understand what friendship here means. In the casual sense of the word that it's used in the West, just whoever you talk to or associate with at work or at school, that's not what this verse is referring to. It's referring to genuine friends, the intimate friends. We cannot take non-believers as our true friends. We We cannot take non-believers as true friends. I sometimes come across certain brothers that say, oh yes, we have Christian friends and we have Jewish friends and we have Muslim friends. It's a pluralistic world and we have to tolerate everyone, we love everyone. Yes, we have. We must tolerate everyone. We have respect for everyone. We must be kind to everyone. But that doesn't mean taking the non-believers as true friends. Exposing our lives to the non-believers. Exposing our family to the non-believers. Because there's a good chance that instead of them becoming Muslim, we or our family members may lose their faith. And thereby weaken the Shia community. And thereby it goes against the question, the topic or the objective of Intithal al-Faraj. So this is something, especially among the youth, we must be careful. And again, I'm reiterating, I don't mean to be mean to non-believers. We must be kind, we must associate with them. And even to try to invite them to the Shia faith with our acts of kindness. You might have heard of the story of Imam Khomeini when he was in France. He was expelled from Iran. He was in France for a certain period of time, for several months. When Christmas came, he gave presents to all of his neighbors in that village. So when we say, don't take non-believers as friends, we don't mean that we have to be mean to them. That is also not endorsed by Islam. We have to be kind to them, but it's only the believers that we can take as true friends. It's only the believers. Inshallah ta'ala, if we observe these points, some of them might be difficult, but inshallah, if we try to observe these points, we have in our own right contributed to the establishment of the rule of God on earth, inshallah ta'ala. Praying for the coming of Imam Mahdi, inshallah ta'ala. Keeping his thought alive in our hearts. Observing taqwa, both in the private sphere and the public sphere. And the observing tawalli and tabari in the true sense of the word. Inshallah ta'ala, if we do this, we'll succeed in hastening, inshallah ta'ala, the reappearance of Imam Mahdi. Allahumma ajalla waliyaka al-faraj wal-afiyata wan-nasr. Waj'alna min khayri awanihi wa ansarihi wal-mustashhadin bayna yadayhi. Wa hab lana ra'fatahu wa rahmatahu wa du'a'ah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala al-tayyibin al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.